Well, tonight we're going to be back in semester three. We're going to be looking at a module called The First Step. The First Step. Overview. The first step away from God is a choice we make. We decide to take the first step down the slippery slope. The first step away from God. The evil one sets us up to take that first step through deception and temptation. Learning to be victorious over the demonic strongholds in us includes learning how we are deceived and then how the iniquities in our heart take us down those slippery slopes. And then once we understand that, then we can cut it off before it even gets started, to not take the first step. To not take the first step. We need to learn to recognize the sin patterns in our lives, to recognize the way that the evil one deceives and tempts us, to understand the hot buttons in our lives that he can push, to understand the hooks that he has had in us that he can pull on and yank us a certain direction. These things are crucial as we continue in this semester understanding sin and how sin works. And so that we can then let the Lord set us free through His Spirit and His Word. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. John G. Lake said, if we want to have dominion over demons, devils and evil spirits, over disease, sickness, over death, that first of all, we need to have dominion over ourselves. And much of that involves our own personal sin. Now, remember, we're not trying to create sin consciousness. Because all that sin consciousness does is lead to condemnation. And all condemnation does is lead to death. That's not what we're trying to do. What we want to do is invoke in you a righteousness consciousness. That there is such a heart to be righteous, a desire to be righteous, that it causes sin in our lives, our attitudes, the iniquities, the thoughts, the words of sin to kind of rise to the surface. So we can see them and recognize them, and working with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to let them be washed out of our lives by the washing of the water of the Word. So let's take a minute to look a little bit at our and to understand our environment. Last time, in the previous module, I taught about the frog in the pot. We're all familiar with that analogy of the frog in the pot. Doesn't even realize what's happening around him. It's like that with us with sin. We were born in sin, not with sin, but in sin. In the midst of it, we've become experts at sin of all types. If not sin that we've done, sin that we've observed in other people. And in some ways, it becomes so habitual that we don't even realize it, that there are things that are going on in our lives, sinful things that we're doing, saying, thinking, without even understanding what's going on. Now, praise the Lord that Jesus came to deliver us, because when he died, when he was nailed to the cross, our sins were nailed right to the cross with him. He was bearing those sins in his body. And so when he bore our sins in his body and he was nailed to the cross, our sins were nailed there right with him. Amen. And because of that, we have been set free from sin. We are dead to sin. But our heart, our soul, our mind, our bodies need to be cleansed, purified, and redeemed, which is exactly what the Lord is doing, right? Cleansing us, sanctifying us by the washing of the water of the Word, that he might present to himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. In our spirits we are pure, but the rest of us needs cleansing. The evil one is very much a part of this whole process as he has been working in our lives from the time we were yea-high to a grasshopper, right? The evil one blinds our minds. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them," should shine unto them. Now, the context here is specifically talking about unbelievers. But put it in our context, as believers, there are things that we don't believe about the Word, that we don't yet understand. Maybe it's not a matter of willingly not believing, but we may be ignorant of God's promises and have no basis on which to have faith. And so the evil one in those ways blinds our minds to sin in our lives, blinds our minds to things that we don't really understand. And what that does, it cuts us off from the light of the glorious gospel for our own lives. If a person doesn't know about healing, that healing is part of their salvation package, then for them to believe in healing makes no sense. And the evil one has blinded their minds to the glorious things that God has prepared for us, has done for us through Jesus. So the evil one blinds our minds. That's why we need the Word. We're going to look more at that in a few minutes. There's also a self-deception that takes place. James 1:22 says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." So if all we're doing is hearing the Word, but not doing it, we have deceived ourselves. For going on, "For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein," continues therein. In other words, they are a doer. A doer continues. A doer continueth in the Word. And when he is doing that, doing the Word, he then is blessed in his deed, in his doing. He's continuing the Word. So we don't want to deceive ourselves by thinking, "Oh, because I know it, because I know it in my head, then I'm doing good." No, it doesn't help to know it. You got to start doing it. Doing is what sets us free. So we don't want to be self-deceived, but it's so easy to just hear and not do. In 2 Timothy 2:25, we've talked about this in a previous module as well. "In meekness, instructions here to Timothy as he is pastoring these people. In meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Why are they opposing themselves? Because they have this diabolical intoxication, as I've called it, where they are in this drunken stupor spiritually, and they need to come out of that drunken stupor by repenting so that they could discover the sin behind it, and then God sets them free. They come out of that drunken stupor because the evil one has had them captive in his bonds, his strongholds in our lives. So we need to be set free from these things. Our sin invites demonic strongholds into our life. James chapter 1, verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I want you to see some things here. It says, then, when lust has conceived. Now, we're all familiar with conception, right? It takes an egg, and it takes a sperm. They come together, and there is conception. Well, notice, it says here, verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. Now, remember, lust here isn't necessarily talking about sexual lust, although it could mean that, but it means a strong desire. So just a desire for something. It could be something that's rising up out of the body. I desire ice cream. It could be a desire of anger. This situation has come up and there is anger. It's a strong, forceful desire or strong, forceful motivation that happens in our life. So drawn away by his own lust, but then notice the next part, and enticed. See, that's the key. Lust is like the egg. Enticing is like the sperm. So when lust, there's a desire, there's something going on that has come up, and it sits alone by itself until enticement. In other words, something in you says, oh, look at that. And then they come together, and sin is conceived. Then when lust has conceived, you know what? In this type of conception, abortion is completely acceptable. You can abort it at conception. You can abort it in the first trimester. You can abort it in the second trimester. You can abort it in the third trimester. It doesn't matter. If sin is conceived, you got to deal with it. Don't let it go on, because sin, when it is conceived, it brings forth, it bursts sin. And when it is finished, when sin has grown up, it bringeth forth death. So we don't want that. So don't be afraid of aborting before it even starts. Matter of fact, it's a good place for protection. Don't let lust get anywhere near enticement. We'll talk some more about that in a little bit. In James 3, we see the same thing from a little bit different perspective. I'm going to start in verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. There's the egg. Strife, envying in your hearts. glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom, listen to this, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. One translation says demonical. Its source is evil. Its source is the evil one. This is a place where the evil one's trying to deceive you into thinking it's okay to justify your envying, your strife. It's devilish. For where envying and strife is, where they have conceived and been, then there is confusion. It's birthing forth confusion and every evil work. In Ephesians 4:26, we see where it says, Be angry and sin not. Let not sin go down on your wrath. Neither give place, neither give opportunity, neither give place to the devil. So we don't want to give place. The evil one is always looking for a place, always looking for a way to entice us, a way to draw us away by lust. We don't want that to happen. So the evil one is trying to get us to take steps that will lead to sin being conceived and being birthed. So how do you deal with that? You begin to recognize sin in your life by the word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, if you look at those four items there, the middle two, of reproof and correction. Now, those are obvious that it has to do with it's confronting something in our lives that needs to change. It's reproofing us. It's bringing correction. Something is wrong. But really, if you look at the other two as well, it's profitable for teaching, for doctrine. See, the reason why it's profitable for teaching is because it's teaching us something we don't know. And then going on to the last one, training in righteousness. It's training us, it's exercising our faith, it's exercising us, it's disciplining us. It's training us in righteousness because we're not there. And we need to be trained in righteousness. So no matter how you cut it, this is your attitude needs to be towards the Word. When you're reading the Word, you should always look for change. What is the Word telling me I need to do different? Where is it instructing me in something that I didn't know? Where is it reproving me for something that I'm doing that I shouldn't be? Where is it correcting me for something that is not right in my life? Where is it training me to become more righteous, to become more in line with God's righteousness, His way of doing things? So we always need to look at the Word in that way. Now going back to what we looked at in James 3, 16 ends with, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Now remember, this was wisdom from below. Verse 17 says, but the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easily entreated. So, see, there's a whole different characteristic of the wisdom from below and the wisdom from above. So the attributes of the wisdom from below is envying, strife, which yields confusion. It's demonical. It's evil. But all the wisdom from above characterizes itself in purity, peace, gentleness, easily entreated. Don't let ourselves become deceived by the evil one trying to bring those kind of things into our life. Let the Spirit of the God bring into our lives what He desires: purity and love and gentleness and peace. Now, these are not just feelings, or these are also actions. Purity is an action, the way you respond to others, versus strife and envy. Gentleness, peace, these are also actions that we need to take. So the Word, we recognize sin by the Word. See, when the evil one begins to tempt us into something, is trying to push those buttons to take us down roads that we know we shouldn't go, he's going to make it look enticing. He's going to make it look maybe even seem very innocent. But the fall, the slide down the slippery slope, only hurts when you hit the bottom. See, that enticement to have that little bowl of ice cream, oh, it's just a little bit, can be the first step to take you down a road that leads to a place where you didn't want to go. There was a man who had started coming to ABC. He was enjoying it. God was changing his life. It was really wonderful. He had some challenges in his life, but those things began to get worked out. And one of them had to do with financial things. So he was kind of, you know, looking for a job, a better job, that kind of thing. Well, he finally found one. Oh, man, he was excited. I got this job. But what happened? His schedule required him to work Friday night and Sunday morning. And he was so excited about it. What just happened? His life had been a mess. He came to ABC. Things started turning around. God was teaching him. He was making good progress. And all of a sudden, the evil one comes in there and throws him something that enticed him. Oh, this is a good job. I'm going to be making X amount of dollars an hour more than I was on that last job. But what did it do? It just took him right out of the anointing where he needed to be. There was another man who got miraculously born again. I mean, he was, he had a lot of sin in his life. Let's just put it that way. And he got born again. He was having some health issues. And in that particular meeting that he went to, he was born again. He was healed. He was filled with the Spirit. He put away his sinful habits. Lord just took him. His smoking and drinking and other stuff that he was involved in. And oh my gosh, he was so excited. He was walking with the Lord and just doing great. Ministering to people. People were coming to Jesus. And then one day, a thought occurred to him. I wonder where that thought came from. A thought occurred to him. He said, you know, my old buddies back at the bar that I used to go to, they need Jesus. So he started going back to the bar with the intent of ministering to his friends, ministering to his buddies. And after a while, it was like, oh, what's a little drink? Just one little drink. And it took him down a road he didn't want to go in. And that road almost killed him. But praise God, by his grace, he turned his life around. That was a big wake-up call. Turned his life around and set him on the right road. And he was an effective minister of the gospel after that. But he took that one step, that thought occurred to him, and it took him down a road he didn't want to go. Immerse yourself in the Word. Choose the Word as the standard for everything in your life. Proverbs 4:20-23. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto thy sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life. His word we're talking about. Our eye gates, our ear gates, our heart. Remind you of something we were talking about earlier at the beginning of the service? This is where the word needs to come in and to penetrate. Hide them, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart, guard thy heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. Choose the word as a standard for everything. Let the word, with actions, in other words, being a doer of the word, drive out the iniquity from our heart, soul, and mind. So as we spend time in the Word, as we look for the Word to change us, like we talked about from 2 Timothy 3, letting the Word change us so that we could be, as it says in verse 17, thoroughly furnished, perfect, thoroughly furnished for every good work that the Lord has for us. And incorporating that word into our life will begin to drive out the iniquity in our hearts, soul, and mind. The self-centeredness, the anger, the hurt, the lack of self-control, depression, whatever it might be. The word begins to drive those things out. So immerse yourself in the word. Plant the word deep into your heart. Continue to grow in the Word. Milk, meat, strong meat. Because according to 1 John chapter 2, 12 through 14, it says, I write unto you little children, because your sins are forgiven for your namesake, for his namesake. I write unto you fathers, because you have known him that was from the beginning. I write unto you young men, listen to this, because you have overcome the wicked one. In other words, you have overcome him so that his deceptions are minimized in your life. The only thing that the evil one has is deception. That's the only tool he has, is to deceive us. He uses our power through his deception to try to accomplish things through our lives. But it is deception. We have got to understand his deceptions in our lives. And these that have are the young men, we'll see a little bit more about them in just a moment. They have overcome the evil one and his deceptions in their life. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. So you are strong in the Lord. The word of God abides in you. It lives in you. You have taken it for yourself. So continue to immerse yourself into the Word, because when you have strong meat, according to Hebrews 5, when you're eating strong meat and you're exercised by being trained by it in your life, then you are able to discern both good and evil, discerning what is righteous, what is of God, and what is the evil one trying to do to bring evil into your life, to get you to go down that first step. There was a man. He was walking down the sidewalk. There was a hole in the sidewalk. He fell into the hole. It took him a while to get out. There was a man. He's walking down the sidewalk. There was a hole in the sidewalk. He fell into the hole. It took him a while to get out. There was a man walking down the sidewalk. There was a hole in the sidewalk. He fell into the hole. But this time, he was able to get out quicker. There was a man walking down the sidewalk. There was a hole in the sidewalk. When he got to the hole, he stopped. He looked into the hole, then he sidestepped the hole and went around. There was a man walking down the sidewalk of a different street. See, the evil one tries to get us to keep walking into the same holes, the same ditches in our life. And if you're like me, sometimes you don't even realize what you've done. You find yourself in a hole, and it takes a while to get out. After a while, you begin to recognize the evil one's scheme. Wait a second. Last time I did that, I ended up where I didn't want to be. Okay, I'm going to sidestep it this time. But see, if you keep walking down the same sidewalk with the same hole, it's easy to keep falling in. So you learn not to take the first step by going down a different path. Let the Lord bring you higher to a different place so that righteousness is now your path. Scripture tells us he leads us in paths of righteousness. The evil one wants to lead us in paths with holes, ditches, and places that we don't want to be. So don't let him. Look for anything in you that steps outside of the Word of God. Cultivate a heart that hungers for God and for holiness. Jesus said, blessed, happy, empowered to prosper in their lives are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they shall be filled. In other words, they shall have the righteousness they're looking for. Hunger, thirst for righteousness. Cultivate a heart that hungers for God and His holiness. A scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says to keep focused. I'm kind of paraphrasing. Keep focused on the glory of God. As looking in a mirror, as looking in a glass, focus on the image of the glory of God. And the promise there is, and you will be changed into that image from glory to glory. So by focusing on righteousness, focusing on pleasing God, focusing on the fear of the Lord, focusing on the glory of the Lord, who He is, what He has done for us. Focus on His glory. Focus on his heart, his person. And when you focus on him, then it says you will be changed into that image. It's the same thing we were talking about previously, about fleeing sin and pursuing righteousness, pursuing love. See, if we're just focusing on the sin of trying to get away from it, trying to flee that sin, it's going to pull us back in. So in the same way, when we focus on righteousness, when we focus on Jesus, when we focus on the Word, when we focus on being all that He's called us to be, then that other junk gets left behind, and we're focusing and becoming then from glory to glory. Be aggressive to get the sin out. Aggressive to get the sin out. Having therefore these promises, and he's talking about the promise of being children of the Most High God. We have these promises in 2 Corinthians 7:1. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Sounds a lot like 1 John 3, verse 3, that tells us that we are to focus on being like Jesus. For everyone who has this hope of being like Jesus, who is righteous, being like Jesus, he will purify himself, even as he, Jesus, is pure. So be aggressive to get the sin out. To be aggressive so that if you see it in your life, if you see something that even hints of it, you'll walk away. See, we've got to get so aggressive that anything, oh, what's a little? No. No. No little nothing. All right? Avoid sin. It doesn't matter. It's more important to be righteous, because the evil one will take us down roads we don't want to go. Set up guards in your life in areas of weakness. Set up guards. One of the most important things you can do is to avoid secrecy. If you've got a challenge in some area of your life and it's, I put it this way, it's too often a sin to confess. It could be anger, it could, you know, whatever it might be. It could be fear. But if you've got a sin that's too often a sin to confess, then maybe that's the time that you need to expose it to somebody. James chapter 3, verse 16 says, confess your faults one to another so you can pray for one another and be healed. So avoid secrecy. If there's a particular weakness that you've had in the past towards sin, I mean, avoid it. Stay away from the alcohol aisles in the grocery stores if that's been a challenge. Stay away from the magazine rack in the stores if that's been a challenge. Whatever it might be. See, one thing I discovered years ago, and you've probably seen this, Google knows who you are. Google knows where you live. Google knows what you like and what you don't like. If you're looking, a few months ago, I was wanting to buy a camera. So I was on Amazon and I was on Walmart and I was on all this, you know, looking at cameras. And for the next 2 months, every time I brought up some article or something over there on the side, here's this great camera that you might like and this kind of stuff, right? So if you start looking at stuff that you shouldn't be looking at or going into areas, that kind of thing, next thing you know, because your phone and your, you know, Google is tied in with YouTube and your phone is tied in with your computer, the next thing you'll know, you'll have stuff popping up everywhere. It's like, how did this happen? And then all of a sudden an email comes in. It's like, how did they get my email address? So stay away from that stuff, because Google knows who you are. But more importantly, the Holy Spirit is watching too. So don't let the evil one set you up for a downfall. Avoid those things. Avoid unforgiveness and strife in your life. The first step equals a thought of temptation to sin. Again, don't let it conceive. Don't let the thoughts take root. Treat them as a sin and CRRB. As soon as a thought comes across your mind, a thought, whether it be anger, fear, rejection, discouragement, impatience, depression, a sexual thought, a food craving, media, something that you know can take you down the wrong roads. Confess those. Confess that thought as a sin and CRRB. And if it comes back, do it again. If it comes back, do it again. If it comes back, do it again. And wash yourself with the three witness anointing. Some of you hear that and you say, what is the three witness anointing? Well, come back for the next module and you'll hear about the three witness anointing. Because these things can help to cleanse our minds, cleanse our hearts, cleanse our souls. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. Treat the memories of sin, of sins as sin. You know, if you're just sitting there, not really doing much, and all of a sudden you remember what such and such said to you 3 years ago. Wow. You know, I should have said this. I should have said that. And the next thing you know, you've got yourself all upset. You forgave them 3 years ago, and now all of a sudden, unforgiveness and offense is rising up in your heart again. No, stop that kind of stuff. If a thought of a sin, a memory of a sin, comes back to you, stop it right then and there. Avoid triggers, thoughts, or incidences which are hot buttons in your life. Avoid linchpin sins that can take you downhill really fast. Stop those things. Cut them off right away. In other words, what you're doing here is monitoring your thoughts so you bring every thought captive to Christ. Every thought captive to the Word of God. Every thought captive to the anointing. Do not act on the thought of sin. Acting on thoughts or memories puts it in your heart. The same process that puts the word in your heart of hearing it and then doing it, the same process puts evil in our hearts as well. So by acting on the thoughts or the memories, it starts putting it into our heart. And then you've got to deal with that whole issue. Confess your sins and get it out of your heart. Break curses of the thoughts and the actions. Confess it as a sin. Repent of it and break those curses. Do not speak the thought of sin. Your tongue guides your life. So if we start speaking those thoughts, it's going to strengthen it in our life and set our lives in a direction we don't want it to go. If the devil controls your tongue, he has you. So don't let him control your tongue. That scripture there in Proverbs 18:7 says, "A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul." The evil one tries to ensnare us, and in particular with our soul, strongholds that he is bringing into our life. So we don't want him to have snares on our soul to take us captive. Affirm scripture, therefore, affirm scriptures on your tongue. And we've talked about these things in the past. Psalm 19:14. God has made the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, acceptable to him. And Psalm 141:3, which says, "To set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep or guard the door of my lips." Turn your tongue over to the control of the Holy Spirit, because a thought that's unsaid is a thought that is dead. So don't even speak out those thoughts of sin. We don't want them to easily be conceived, because once we start speaking it, it can entice us even more and cause the conception of sin, and we don't want that. Letter D, go and sin no more. The woman caught in adultery, Jesus told her, go and sin no more. See, that needs to be the cry of our heart. From here on out, from this moment, I do not want to sin anymore. So don't let the evil one deceive you into taking steps, into taking that first step down the road you don't want to go. The man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus told him, go and sin no more, lest something worse come upon you. Sometimes that hole can get bigger and deeper and have consequences in the natural, and sometimes even consequences in the spiritual and eternal. Stay in the anointing to avoid sin. 1 John 3:6, whosoever abides in him sins not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither has known him. So stay in relationship. Stay in the anointing. Number four, having escaped sin or the pollution of this world through the knowledge of God, do not go back. For after they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, and the latter is worse than them at the beginning. For it would have been better if they have not known the way of righteousness than after having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Strong words about not taking that first step and letting the evil one take you to places that you don't want to go. So avoid the first step. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I want to take a moment to go over the homework. Review the following modules. Module 2 on identifying sins. Module 3 on flee the sins of our youth. Module 4, spiritual warfare and divine healing. And Module 6, the first step, this one. These four modules help us to understand the effects of sin in our lives. Use these modules to further identify sins, strongholds, iniquities, idols, and demonic deceptions in your life. Begin to create lists of sins and curses and put them in categories. These lists will be used to break curses leading up to the cleansing retreat in May of this year. So right now we're looking at Memorial Day weekend. So just letting you know, cleansing retreat. So as we work towards that cleansing retreat, then there'll be opportunity for you to break curses and so on. But we need to start using these modules to help us to create lists and to see the sins in our life. And note, again, I want to stress this again. We want to stress again that we are not trying to create a sin consciousness, which leads to condemnation, but instead a righteousness consciousness, which will lead to freedom as we are washed by the water of the Word to be the glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Amen. Amen. Amen.